Hello and welcome to the Upgrade School Marketing Podcast. My name is Matt Soule. I'm the Director of Marketing and Communications at Chapel Hill Chauncey Hall School.
Hello, I'm Angie Ward. I'm the President of Enroll Media Group, a digital marketing agency for schools.
Angie, welcome back. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Matt. It's been a while. How have you been?
It's been good. It's been good. Good summer. Busy summer. Working in our school's summer camp. Running Brook Camp has been busy. My kids are at camp. We've been camping, everything camp. So yeah, how about you?
Oh, nice. Yes, lots of summer camps for my kids this year, which has been great, but we balanced it with vacation, which was nice. So it's good to spend time as a family, and now we're heading back to school. Tis the season.
I know it's going quick, and we're talking today about strategy. We're talking about teams working together. And I think that it is a really good time for teams, especially administrative teams at schools, who have just gone through a summer of administrative retreats and talking about strategic plans and looking ahead. And, when teams get together, there's all different types, right? All different types of people on those teams.
Yeah. Definitely. Team dynamics are interesting. And typically the Upgrade School Marketing Podcast is how you can level up your school's marketing. But today's episode is how you can kind of level up your team and work more effectively to accomplish the goals that you've set for the upcoming year. So we're really excited about today's guest. Why don't you tell us a little bit about her, Matt?
Yeah. So, and before even getting into it, a little teaser for later in the episode is, we're talking about a specific in this talk, a specific test that you can take, an assessment that you can take and that a team can take that will tell you really how you work best and the ways that you are adept to working and the ways you aren't. And I actually took the test. So this is one thing that'll be an interesting reveal towards the end of the episode is that I took this test. It's called the test for genius. What is it called, Angie?
The six types of working genius.
The six types of working genius test. So I took the six types of working genius test, and I'm going to be surprised. I don't know what I got on this and what areas I'm a genius in, and which areas are frustrations for me, but I'm going to learn it with you all at the end of the episode. And right. The person who guided and who is the host, the guest for the show today is Miriam Stein. Miriam Stein is the chief strategist at Saddle Rock Strategies and has been working with schools for over 20 plus years. She specializes in enrollment strategy for schools, camps, and leadership, and she has toured the country speaking on enrollment strategy, systems, and workplace dynamics, which is really her specialty. So this is a great talk, learning about how to work together, how to learn about your own strengths, and how you can work better with others, which I think we can all benefit from. So let's go and talk with Miriam.
Hi, Miriam. Welcome to the Upgrade School Marketing Podcast. It's so good to see you.
It's so fun to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Great. Well, we will jump right in because we have a fun episode planned for today. So let's just start off high level. How did you start working with schools?
Yeah, I love schools. I'm a school person through and through. I started working in schools. I always knew I wanted to get into like helping people some way, somehow. So I actually went to social work school to get my master's in social work. And then I realized I really want to work with teens and just be a part of a school universe. I love schools. I love how busy they are. I love the cafeteria. I love sports. I love theater. So I just love being a part of a school. And I live right outside of Washington, D.C. And I started working for a school here called Charles E. Smith Jewish Day School, which is pre-K through 12th grade. It's about 1,000 students. And I was hired as the director of student life and high school history. And I taught history for a bunch of years. I loved working with high school students. I just wanted to excite them and get them feeling like I'm part of something more than just like showing up, you know, every day and like clocking in and clocking out. And I love experiential education also. So I did that for a while. And then my dream was to be a high school principal. And so someone said to me at some point, if you want to be a principal, you should really get into admissions. Because then you understand like how classrooms get filled. And I said, isn't admission just giving tours? Like I had no idea what was involved. I just kind of expected classrooms to be filled. I just never thought about it. But oh my gosh, I ended up getting the job for admissions, director of admission of the upper school. So 6th through 12th grade, like 500 kids on the campus. And gosh, I learned it's a lot more than just giving tours. I learned about market segment and I learned about value proposition and making the sell and data analysis and all these things. And I ended up falling in love with admissions. So I did that for 7 years at Charles E. Smith. My kids went there also. I'm an independent school parent. And then about 4.5 years ago, during COVID, was like this major upheaval. Like, I love what I do, but I didn't want to just stay in one school. So I left the school. My kids still go there. And I left the school and I opened a consulting practice to work with schools on enrollment strategy. I thought that would be helpful to schools. I became a certified executive coach. So I coach school leaders and I work with schools on enrollment strategy. And then as I started working with schools on enrollment strategy, I kept hearing this theme come up over and over again. That was like, schools are struggling with enrollment, but what they're really struggling with is like internal dynamics, teamwork, collaboration, communication. And it got to the point where I realized like we've got teams of individual champions, but not championship teams. And we spend so much time at work and we do the holiest, most important work out there. We should love what we do and not feel frustrated by our colleagues and coworkers. And I ended up getting into this like whole field of team health, organizational health, and that is probably like 50% of what I do now. So I still do the enrollment strategy, but I think like a nice like support for that for all teams is doing this team health work. So that is how I work with schools.
Awesome. Did you like, as you started working with schools and teams and doing that, did you quickly see the benefit that the teams got from working with you and learning about themselves and each other?
Oh my gosh, yes. I love to save the testimonials from people also because it's like, yes, like this is helpful. And it's so tricky. I will tell you, like this is like my little mini library of Bibles. A lot of the work I do is based on this author, Patrick Lencioni. If you're looking at this, you can see this book I'm holding up. But if you're listening, the book I'm holding up is called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick Lencioni. And maybe we could put a link to it. I didn't write it. I don't get any money if you buy this book, but I think it's such a good book. It talks about the challenges that teams have. And there's a reason that there's a gazillion copies sold and is translated into a million languages. In this book and in his other stuff too, he talks about how the number one competitive advantage for companies to be successful, like he's in the corporate world, but I bring it to schools and nonprofits. He says the number one competitive advantage is not like how smart you are. It's not if you went to Harvard. It's not what your IQ is. It's how healthy your team is. And I take his principles and I apply them to working with schools. And people say like, gosh, we really are working so much better. Gosh, you really helped us understand how we work and like stop bumping into invisible walls all the time. And yeah.
Well, I'll add that I read The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. Love it. I've recommended it to everybody on my team at Enroll Media Group. And I also listened to the podcast At the Table, which is his podcast. It's great. I love that. So, you've worked with so many teams. So tell us kind of in a nutshell, when it comes to, teams that work in independent schools specifically, what makes for a healthy team in your opinion?
Okay, here's what is a healthy team. I love this question. Number one, clarity. Clarity around how decisions are made. And if you're listening to this, you may be chuckling because when I share this in presentation, usually I'm like, these are the hallmarks of a healthy team. Like clarity, minimal drama, minimal confusion. And people are like, oh man, I wish my head of school was listening to this. Heads of school are such good people and they want what's best for the school for sure, but they're not always effective in communicating the boundaries around like this is why I'm making this decision this way. And communication, clarity is so helpful. You may not agree with the decision, but you'll understand why it was made that way. High morale, obviously, like people being excited to come to work every day, low turnover. That's a hallmark of a healthy team. If you have a lot of churn and turnover and you're listening to this webinar, podcast, whatever we're doing, think about, hey, maybe my team isn't healthy. Like, what is contributing to people feeling that they need to walk away? And it's probably because people are not excited to be at work every day. So you may have, again, a team of individual champions, but if your team is not gelling and it's not a healthy team culture, then you're probably missing trust. Like the baseline is trust. Trust means being able to talk honestly and openly about what you're good about and what you're good at and maybe not so good at. Everybody is really good at some things and not good at other things. So it's like just reveal that early on. And we actually we're going to talk about the six types of working genius in a moment, but trust is like that baseline. Once you have trust, then you can engage in conflict in a healthy, productive way, and people can really be heard. Again, you may not agree with the decision, but I will feel like I was heard. The prize for that is like higher quality decisions. When you have higher quality decisions, people will commit to them. When you commit to decisions, then we hold each other accountable. We all follow them. And then when we hold each other accountable, then we are focusing on the results and like hitting our goals. That's what is involved in a healthy team.
Got it.
Yeah, and it seems like something that a school is really built for too. Like they work with students on those exact things and learning in different ways and having different abilities and trying to tap into those. So it's using those principles on yourselves as an administrative team. So yes, you mentioned the poster. You have the Working Genius behind you. We can see it right here. So that brought you to this work, brought you to this the six types of working genius. So can you tell me a little bit about what that is?
100%. So this is the way I got to this is at one point a head of school contacted me and said, "Hey, I have a team that are like excellent professionals, but as a team, we're really toxic. Can you do an all-day retreat for us to like repair?" And I literally Googled like best books on teamwork. Like this was at the beginning. And that's how I discovered the five dysfunctions of a team, which led me to this model also of the six types of working genius, which is by the same guy who runs the Table Group, has the At the Table podcast, Patrick Lencioni. So this model is fantastic to build trust, which is that baseline in being honest and open about what you do well and don't do well. So here's how it goes. The idea is that there are six different ways in which we approach work, tasks, things in life. I'm going to go through them real quick. But the idea is each of us has two that are natural talents or like the way we approach things. It's effortless, it's obvious for us. That's how we approach it. Those are called your working geniuses. Each of us has two that I will say this. Anybody listening to this is obviously interested in their professional development. Like you're good at all of them. You're good at all of them if you're a successful professional. But there are going to be two of them that feel really effortless for you and two of them that like you really have to rally and motivate to do. Those are called your working frustrations. And then there's two in the middle that are called your competencies. So here's what they are. As I describe them, by the way, for those of you listening, I want you to write down the letter that I'm saying. Like we start with wonder. So write down a W. And I want you to write down, like, who do I work with who is, this sounds like them? And let's see
Nice.
if we can start to apply it.
Interactive here. This is
Interact.
good.
I'm a teacher. Okay, here we
Unless
go.
you're driving. If you're driving, don't write that down yet.
Right, just think, please. Okay, so here we go. Wonder. So it starts with wonder. There are some people who just like love to ask big picture questions, like what might it be like if, or like why do we do it this way, or like what is the purpose of open house? What is the purpose of our gala? What are we trying to achieve? Like they just love to start by asking lots of big picture questions. Think about who do I work with, who has wonder, and it might be you, by the way. Okay, next is invention. There are some people who just love to come up with new ideas all the time, and they sound like, hey, I got it. Hey, let's try this. Hey, top five best movie endings, top five sports plays of all time. Like, you give them a free day, and they're coming up with 10 escape room ideas. They have a journal of tons of ideas that they may never do, but they just love writing down ideas. Those are people with invention. Then there are people with discernment. So write down a D and think about who has discernment. Discernment are people who meet things with a lot of questions. So they are people who want to clarify things all the time. They will ask a lot of questions of like, how's this going to impact the schedule? How's this going to impact the budget? They can look at a lot of information and surface patterns. If you get overwhelmed by making decisions, like, I know I get overwhelmed in the mustard aisle when there's 70 kinds of mustard. People with discernment are really good at just saying, choose this, do this. That's discernment. Then there are people with galvanizing. G, galvanizing. People with galvanizing are your cheerleaders. They are your ambassadors. They are people who get other people rallied around an idea. Oftentimes they're an extrovert, but they don't have to be. You can also have a quiet galvanizer who like gently just pushes you in the direction of getting your stuff done. Then there are people with enablement, E. And enablement, sometimes I know in today's world, it is like a little bit of a negative context, but the people with enablement are people who help you get your job done. So they're often like your support staff, executive assistants. If they have enablement and tenacity, excellent, excellent. So enablement are people who help you get your job done. They always say, let me know what I could do to help. And then people with tenacity are people who love to finish the job. They love to like print the name tags, make the list, build the clipboards, pack up everything, make sure you have your charger if you're traveling. Like those are people with tenacity. They're going to respond to emails right away. When I do this with a team, the way it works is you take the assessment online, and then you get your results back. And then what I do with a lot of teams is like help them talk through the results and how it impacts the team. When I give this to a team and there's 10 people on the team, the first person that gets it back to me, I'm like, I'm sure they have tenacity because like they're always the first to do the job. So the cool thing about this is it helps you understand, first of all, why you approach work in a certain way. And it also helps you understand why your colleagues approach work in a certain way or don't approach work in a certain way.
Right. That's
So,
good.
thank you for breaking down all six there. And I know, we're going to in a minute. I took this test, a few days ago, and you have the results of that. So we'll go through that in a minute, which I'm excited, a little bit nervous to
Do
see
the
where I
live reveal.
fall. We'll do the live Maury Povich reveal of my test. And but I'm just wondering, there's a lot of different things that people can do to sort of the strength finders and Myers-Briggs tests and a lot of tests out there. So what makes this model and this system different than that?
Okay, I'm so glad you asked that because I think that comes up for a lot of people, especially for those of you listening to this. If you jumped right to like, but how is this different than other tests? You probably have discernment. So I'm so glad that you asked that. And here's why I like this test better than the others. And I know a lot of the others. Remember, I work with teams all the time. So like I know about DISC and Myers-Briggs and Enneagram. So here's the thing, like in Enneagram, I'm a two. Like, what does that tell you about me? Absolutely nothing. I'm a purple. Like, what does that tell you? Even if it's like, actually, I know somebody who works at Deloitte, and she said to me, and I was talking about Working Genius, and she's like, oh yeah, like we have internal language, like I'm a guardian, like I'm a protector. That doesn't really tell me about how I work, how I approach work. So I love this, first of all, it uses plain English language. So my working geniuses, by the way, are galvanizing and enablement. All I want to do is excite people and help people. And it uses plain English. I'm also a two and I'm also a purple, but like those don't help you, but this does. Now you know. If I have invention, you know what that means. The second thing that I really like about this model that the others are personality tests. This is not a personality test. This tells you how you approach work. Whenever I'm in the workplace, my number one, the thing that I'm most drawn to is exciting people about work and helping people get their job done. You can have enablement and be very friendly and warm, or have enablement and be very cold and reserved. Two different personalities. Personality is not helpful. This is a productivity tool. Also, here's another cool thing. I'm going to share my screen for a second for those of you listening. I'll describe to you what I'm looking at.
And
But
anybody who just as an update to anybody who can't see it, if they're listening, we'll have on the show page, we'll have a link to the PDF of presentation so you can see the graphs of it too.
okay. So the other neat thing is what happens with this is when people take the assessment, a bunch of people on the team, then you can map it out on a team map, which is what I'm showing right now. So on this team map, you can see how everybody lines up, and you can immediately see gaps without even looking at names. It doesn't even matter who approaches in what way, but I'm looking at this team map, and immediately I see nobody on this team has wonder, nobody on this team has invention, and in fact, they have a frustration around it. So what that tells me is not that this team is weak in any way, or not that this team doesn't do a good job, but it tells me they're not naturally inclined to brainstorm, to think of fresh ideas, to think of fresh strategies. And this is a real team that I worked with that you're looking at. It's not a school. Nobody will be able to identify it. If you are, then you get $1 million because that would be impressive.
There you
But
go.
this was a small office in New York City, and they were responsible to create strategy for national teams around the country for a larger organization. And when I met with the team leader and I showed this to her, she said, like, what do you mean we don't have wonder and invention? Like, that's what we're supposed to do, come up with strategy. I said, tell me about those meetings when you come up with strategy. How often do you do that? Are you like a brainstorming machine? And she said, actually, no, like, you're right. We're not at our best. And she's like, and I feel really bad about that. Like, I don't want the CEO to know. And I was like, well, here's where it is. Like, it doesn't mean you're not good professionals. It just means you need to figure out how to compensate for it. So I don't think you can do this with like DISC and StrengthsFinder. That's all.
I was wondering, so when you do find the gap like that,
Yeah.
obviously one is to find people who do have that ability, which is that one way this is used, is when you're looking for somebody, you're hiring, you're looking for that, you understand what you have and what you don't, and you're looking for those kind of filling those gaps.
100%. Yeah, the hiring implications are so powerful. And you, if this team was looking to hire, I would guide them and say, like, ask interview questions that actually get at like complimenting your team instead of just saying like, oh, tell me about a typical interview question is like, tell me about a struggle you had and like how you handled it. You know, tell me about a project that you took start to finish. Like, obviously everyone's going to make themselves sound good, but if you really want in this team that's missing wonder and invention or only has one person in galvanizing, like maybe you ask a question like, if you were given a free weekend, would you rather like sit on a mountaintop and dream of new ideas, clean up spreadsheet data, or lead a team tour on a hike or in a song session? Which would you, what energizes you? There's no right or wrong to that, but the answer to that gives me an understanding of like what I'm really jazzed to do when I come into work on Monday morning. When I was director of student life, all the time I said, I can't believe I get paid to do this. And like my only job is to excite kids.
That's great.
And can I, so we have schools, that we're kicking off a school year right now with
Yeah.
everybody, getting into the new school year, and with administrative teams that maybe had summers of meetings and that. And if they're spotting a gap there, but they're not hiring a person right now, but there's a gap, is there the ability to like almost sort of role play that you are the wonder person or that you are the invention person, and
Totally.
how do you work with them when there's a gap there, but they're not adding a person to the team, but they need to sort of fill that need?
Totally. So number one, great question. First of all, just like being aware of it is great and helpful. Like we recognize that we don't have wonder and invention. We need to make sure that we ask these big picture strategy questions, let's say. So just like being aware of it is great. I would say there are a few different ways that you can compensate. Number one, think of somebody else at school who does have these geniuses and borrow them that genius for a meeting. How, by the way, like what a great opportunity for a teacher. Like teachers at schools often like can't get out of their classroom. You know, like there's no work for them to do and it's hard to give them opportunities beyond the classroom. But this could be one. If you have a teacher who's tremendously creative or is really good at asking questions or has a really critical eye, bring them into something. So borrow a genius. Or if you're on a marketing team, but you know development has a lot of invention, ask them to join you for a brainstorming session. So borrow a genius, and it also really breaks down silos. It's a great like tool for collaboration. I'll give you an example also. So I have galvanizing and enablement, which is all about excite. Like all I want to do is excite people. So when I was director of student life, this would happen all the time. I would come into like leadership team meeting and with like some kind of idea and be like, oh my God, like let's have an ice cream truck every Friday at school. It'll be so fun. Our school will be the best. Nobody will ever leave. Like retention, great. We'll have somebody, you know, it was like such a great idea. And somebody I work with now, in retrospect, for sure had discernment and tenacity, right? She and I were always bumping into walls, and like we both loved kids, we both were there for the mission, no question about it. But like we were constantly at odds with each other. Every time I would come in with an idea, she would say, "How's that going to impact the schedule? What? Why would we do that? How about this? What about dairy allergies? What about gluten allergies?" And I was like, "So my excitometer, I just for those of you listening, I just rolled my eyes. My excitometer is like, going way down. I get really frustrated. I feel." Dumb, unsophisticated. She gets frustrated with me, and says, like, gosh, it's so annoying to work with Miriam. Miriam is sloppy. Miriam is not sophisticated, right? It becomes really personal. So now, and then like I come home, I complain to my husband. He doesn't want to hear it. Like I end up leaving my job, right? Like that's what ends up happening. So now, like, rewind the script a little bit, and let's say I come in with that really creative idea. She could say to me, with if you have this working genius language, she could say to me, Miriam, love your galvanizing energy. Can we just discern this for a minute?
Love
Then it
it.
kind of buffers it and it just feels so much better. Even better would be if I would go to her first, knowing that she loves to discern things. And I would say to her, hey, I've got this great idea. I know that I'm going to skip discernment. Can you help me discern it before I bring it to leadership team and waste everyone's time if it's not a good idea? And she would say, yeah, goody, let's do that. And then, it leverages her talent. It leverages my talent. We're a stronger team. We're rocking and rolling. Nobody's annoyed with each other. Nobody's crying at the end of the day.
Yeah, I love that. And what you could also do too is take maybe if somebody doesn't have those strengths or those geniuses on your team, maybe go to the ones at least with those competencies, right? And then try to pull them in. I love that. Can you give us maybe one or two more examples of outcomes either within a school or a company that you've done this work with?
100%. Yeah. There's a team I worked with. This was not a school, but I think it definitely translates. The head of the CEO of the agency, we discovered through doing this team mapping that he did not have wonder and invention. He had discernment and galvanizing. So he was like really good at like thinking things through and rallying the troops. When it was discovered that he didn't have wonder and invention, he was literally almost in tears with relief. Because he said, like, people look to me to be this visionary. I don't feel like I'm a visionary. And he's like, I know imposter syndrome. Like, I'm trying to fake it till I make it, but I just don't feel like it. And he's like, now I know why. And I can like comfortably say, this isn't my strength. And it was such a relief to him. And it like made him stronger as a leader to be able to say that. And on that team, they had just hired a junior graphic designer who's like 22 years old, right out of college. She has invention. Okay, she was the only one on the team who had invention. And the CEO was like, I'm gonna bring her into strategy meetings, even though she's like the junior member on the team. And nobody's gonna question why. Nobody's gonna be like, oh, why is the boss bringing her in? Like everyone will understand. Remember back to healthy teams, how like clarity around decisions? That's a great example of how this provided clarity, boundaries, and like trust in how decisions are made. So,
That's great.
I think that's one example. Another one, I mean, this is a team behind me. And for people, you don't even, if you're looking at this and can't read it, it doesn't matter. But even if you're just listening, I can tell you like this team is missing wonder. This team has a lot of people with discernment. And they have the only person on this team who has tenacity is the team leader. You can be sure that she is super frustrated that her team doesn't get things done. And that was the thing that she came to me and she was like, oh, I have this amazing team of educators, but like they never finish the job. Help me. And we identified this, and it was like, okay, now that we know this, what are the systems that we need to be put in place to make sure that people get their job done? And also, when your boss checks in with you, it's not that they don't trust you, it's that she has tenacity, she knows how to get things done, and she's supporting you. So it flips the script. There's another group I worked with. There's a short story. There's another group I worked with who the leader has tenacity, and she would start every Monday morning by going through her inbox and checking in with everyone on the leadership team, like, what's happening with this? What's happening with this? And through this working genius, we realized it's not that she was micromanaging. It was that that's how she approaches things, is just like making lists and checking off. And it just flipped the script. Instead of people feeling micromanaged, they were like, oh, this is what energizes her. She just loves to check in on things.
Oh, I love that. And so we got to tell our listeners that at my company at Enroll Media Group, we partnered with you to go through this exercise. And everybody took the test, and we had a whole workshop over a course of several hours to review the results. And I love this. I think it was super valuable for my team. My results were galvanizing and tenacity. And it made sense. I was actually the only galvanizer on my team as a working genius. Some have that competency, but it made sense
You're the
because I kept,
cheerleader.
I'm the
You're the
cheerleader.
hype
I'm the one
person.
that's, yes, rallying the troops. And I always found myself wanting to empower other people to lead the team meetings, but then I just found myself going in there and doing it. And I'm like, that's why. That's not a working genius that any of my team members have. But what was interesting is that everybody had tenacity. All 10 of us, everybody. And to me, I'm like, well, that makes sense. That's a big interview question. I'm always like, The ability to get things done, to keep projects on time and ahead of schedule, even making sure they really are strong at that has always been important. But this has been a really great exercise for my team because now not only do we have some shared language when maybe things come up and we're trying to figure out, what's working or what isn't, but it's also helped us with our special projects, making sure that different team members who have invention or wonder are coupled with those who have discerning or enablement geniuses. So it's really helped us just as an agency and as professionals, set better teamwork and assign the right people the right projects based on these results. So it's been fantastic, I must say.
That's awesome. I
Awesome.
love that.
And
That's really cool. Yeah, it's really helpful in terms of hiring to ask questions that are helped. If you know what your company culture is, like what our values are, then you can ask questions around that and identify that. And I definitely work with teams that when they're then expanding, they're like, oh, can you like make sure somebody else gets the Working Genius Assessment? And then they ask it as part of the process. It's pretty cool.
yeah,
that's
definitely.
cool. Can
That
imagine
should
a
be
cool
part.
part as I'm seeing your charts too in there. I can imagine a cool part of this is like I feel like once you get the results and you get to see there, you get to be a little bit of like a psychic or something to say like I bet your meetings are like just looking at the one that now knowing this now looking at the team that has no wonder like they're probably not changing up their plans a lot. They're probably not coming up with big different ideas, but they have a ton of discernment, so they're probably questioning like lots of questions and questioning these things and doing that. So it must be that must be a fun part of it to come in and kind of say like, are your meetings like this?
Totally, totally. People are like, how do you know? I'm like, oh, I know. That's another thing I love about this test, by the way. Back to your question, it's like, it's so simple. It's so brilliantly simple and insightful and accurate. Like, I actually took the assessment 3 times over the course of several months because I was like, oh, I'm so disappointed with my results. But like, I can't escape it. I am this G galvanizer enabler person.
Were they the same every time you took it?
It was
Oh,
the
wow.
same. The thing that switched was like competency and frustration a little bit, but there's no escaping that I'm a GE. There's no question. Yeah. But it
So
helps me
interesting.
also just know it, like I feel like I'm not a very creative person. And I used to kind of beat myself up about it, but now I recognize, oh, like I don't have wonder and invention. It's not natural for me. So I now, Matt, you asked before, like, what do people do? Like, I now know a lot of people's working geniuses. And if I need to think of something, like if I've been doing the same presentation for 3 years in a row and like I need some fresh ideas, I call my friend Heather. She has wonder and invention. I'm like, hey, here's the task. Can we brainstorm? And she's like, oh, goody. Yeah. And she'll come up with 10 ideas for me, which is great. Like, and you're not imposing on other people. That's the thing I think that's important to remember is people really enjoy it.
That's
Yeah.
awesome. And I know we're going to get to the results from the test I
Yeah.
just recently took. So
Yeah.
yeah, so I'm
So
excited
curious.
to see how
Okay.
that all comes up. Do you have that?
I sure do. Okay.
Okay.
So for everyone listening, Matt took the assessment. Again, it's this online assessment. You go to workinggenius.com. It's this online assessment. I am not selling anything. I want to be really clear about that. I don't make any money from this at all. I just love this tool. So you take this online assessment. It takes like 10 minutes to do.
Yeah,
And
I
then
took
you.
the tip you gave me too of kind of just kind of quickly answer because I think with all of
Okay.
these types of tests, there's always the like aspirational, like I like to think that I do these
Yes.
things, but what do I
Yeah.
actually do and what do I? So,
Right. Yes. Okay. Matt, here's your big reveal.
oh, here we
These
go.
are your results. All right. Why don't you tell us what you see here, especially for this
Okay,
important
my
team?
working
I knew it.
genius, invention and wonder. Yeah, Angie called it. So I'm an invention and wonder, naturally gifted at de and derive energy and joy from creating original and novel ideas and solutions. Yes, you mentioned the Journal of Ideas. I 100% have that, and so
Yeah.
that totally lines up.
Yes.
And then wonder W here, naturally gifted and derive energy and joy from pondering the possibility of greater potential and opportunity in a given situation. I think that is right on. I love kind of sitting there and thinking of big ideas and different ways that we can do things. So that lines up completely, Miriam. That's awesome.
That's so great. And
And
that
then here's
means
who I work well with, right? Is that the competency?
well, competency. Oh, that's interesting. Competency means you're pretty good at this, and people might even think that this is your genius, but like you do it well, but it doesn't really energize you. If you have to do it all the time, like you kind of fizzle out on it.
Okay, so my hype, so being galvanized, being a hype person,
Yeah.
and E is our enablement, which is our, oh, like helping get things done.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Okay, and then
so
read your frustration. What's your
frustrations. Okay,
frustration?
here we go. Your areas of working frustration, discernment, and tenacity. Discernment, you are naturally gifted and don't derive energy and joy from using your intuition and instincts to evaluate and assess ideas or plans. So I think definitely I get excited about new ideas, and then when it gets sometimes into the grinding of the details and all of that, that I can lose steam on that for sure. So I think that is exact. And this is Andrew, why we work well together, because
Yeah,
you
so
balance
before Matt took this test, I put in writing to Miriam and Matt, I think there's going to be an IW for Matt. And you know, it's because those are not actually my strengths, but fun fact, Matt and I have known each other for a very long time, have worked with one another in various capacities, and he has been one I go to, like, hey, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? Because he has that invention and wonder. And he'll do the same to me, knowing that I have, you know, certain strengths with helping him to discern things or get it done. So I think we do have complementary skills. And that's why I thought you might be invention and wonder, because those are my frustrations. And so I found that I've just sort of worked with people in the space who have those as competencies and working geniuses to help me with things. So interesting.
Yeah, we never had the words to define it, but this
Yes.
definitely lines
Yeah.
up with
Now we have
yin
that shirt
yang, the
language.
yin
I think
yang.
also, like, when you have, especially invention is a very obvious one. Like, wonder's a little bit invisible, but invention is obvious because people are coming up with ideas and sharing them. And you, Matt, you might be somebody who, like, you might be 3, 4 months into planning this year's gala, and then you have come up with a new idea, and you're like, I got it. Like, this year's gonna be Western theme, when like everyone's very far down the tiki bar theme. And your team, like, you run the risk of your team getting really frustrated. If you're the boss of your team, then people are like, okay, scrap that. Boss wants this. Like, leaders do that all the time, and they don't realize that they're doing that, especially with invention. So now that you have the language around it, like, I would say anybody who's listening to this who's on Matt's team, when he comes up with new ideas, you can say to him, like, do you actually want us to do this, or are you just like inventing
This is
now?
just, And I think
Yeah.
like coming up with, and I've, I think my own work around with this too, to keep on track of not just continually thinking of a new different way to do it is, I need like the timelines and check-ins to say like, okay,
Yeah.
like we're locking in the idea by here, and then we're coming up with the description and website by here. We're doing, otherwise it becomes like continually reinventing. So I think it's good to know that and know what you need to kind of lock in some of
Yeah.
the
Or like put a
frustrations.
timeline around it too and say, like, okay, we're gonna allow 24 hours to, you know, wonder, invent, and then we gotta move on, you know? So this is also one other thing. I know we're coming up on time.
Oh, interesting.
I could talk about this all day. But here's another cool thing. So in addition to having two individual working geniuses, like, the pairing together kind of presents this like double down effect. So I'm gonna read this. So people with this pairing, wonder and invention, derive real joy and energy from contemplating the world around them and generating a fountain of new ideas. Generally idealistic and future-oriented, they're passionate about new possibilities that break through unnecessary boundaries. They don't value practicality, focus, or implementation as much as idealism and ingenuity. This sometimes leads to stress or chaos among people around them who might be looking for realism and actionability.
That's yes, that is.
So
That's you.
the cool thing about this is, if your team does, everyone takes the assessment, like, everyone has that, like, this is what's awesome about working with me, and like, here's what could be frustrating about working with me. And that goes back to that original, like, baseline of trust of, we're all good at something and we all struggle with something. And just being able to be honest and open and have shared language around it is just so helpful in fast tracking high quality work. That's the bottom line.
Which again, I think goes right back to schools, and this is the type of thing that schools are great at and doing with students. But I don't think often we're looking at ourselves that way. So I
Yeah.
think this is really amazing to see and eye-opening and great. And I'm going to use this, and I'm going to bring this to our team.
I'm going
And
to send you your full report and you can read that.
no, and we're going to get everybody on here. And I really appreciate you walking through this and being able to to just show us what it looks like. And thank you for using me as your guinea pig for sure. And
Thank you.
went out there.
That took a lot of courage. Thank you so much, Miriam. Hey, where can our listeners find you online? Yeah, I love being in touch with people. You can find me at saddlerockstrategies.com. I'm also on Instagram at Saddle Rock Strategies. I love to offer tips to help school professionals with recruitment and marketing. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active there. And I also have a quick tips email. I have two different ones. One is called Beyond the Tour, which is for enrollment and marketing tips. That just helps people with enrollment, very concrete tips like here's three things to do this week. And I also have a quick tips email. Some people call it a newsletter, but I don't like that word. It's called the At Work Tune Up, and it is designed to help people with this kind of team health stuff. So you can find those also on my website under Saddle Rock Strategies. Click on newsletter, and you can find those too. You can find previous issues and sign up if you'd like. But please be in touch anytime. I read everyone's emails, I respond. I love working with people. So please be in touch.
That's great. And everybody can go to Upgrade School Marketing to look at the show notes for this. We'll have the books that you mentioned. We'll have the link to the test, your PDF, and all your newsletters as well. Thank you so much, Miriam, for joining us again. This was awesome. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Thank you so much to Miriam for joining us today. Angie, I do think that this is a really powerful thing to understand yourself better, to understand those that you work with. And I think it tells you, even just learning that, the wonder and invention that I had here today, it tells me a lot. And it tells me, in this podcast, when it comes time to do the details and to put in the descriptions and the links and to put all that in, that why that to me, that's the tenacity of the job, I think, and why to me I have to like forcibly do that because that's not naturally where I'm at. But it's nice to understand that now, I think.
Yeah, it is. And then this whole podcast was your idea. You are invention and wonder, and you came to me and said, think we should do it. And I said, yes. So had it not been for your invention and wonder, I would have never done something like this. So
And if
it's
it
all
wasn't for
good.
you sending the emails and your tenacity and with galvanizing the hype, getting the hype going, that it would have just been left an idea in a notebook and not happened. So I think you got it. That's a good example of the balance of the teams that you need. So
Exactly.
thanks for balancing it out. And
Of course.
thank you again to Miriam for joining us. And again, we're on LinkedIn. You'll be able to connect with us there. So follow Upgrade School Marketing on LinkedIn and visit upgradeschoolmarketing.com to see other episodes and to subscribe and to see all the links from today's a lot of books, a lot of quizzes, a lot of things that were resources for this episode today that you can go in there and check out. So thank you again, and we'll see you next time.